book of James as we continue our study here in this book. Last time we took this instruction and took a look at this instruction about how the Lord says He gives grace to the humble, and He gives us instruction about how to be humble. Look to the word of the Lord in this thing of humility. As James talks to us at the beginning, our faith is tried by temptations and trials, testing that come our way. That's how faith is going to grow. That's how patience is going to grow. We get low in the valley sometimes, but the Lord has given us a promise. We look to Him, He'll lift us up. And we need to remember that. We need to ever, ever remember that. We're in the midst of it. Oh, it's easy. It is easy for a brother or sister to come up beside you when you're down and you're low, and they put their arm around you and they tell you they're praying for you and that they know how you feel. But you're going through it. You're in the middle of it. I mean, you've got the grief of it, but that comfort to know that somebody else that is going through it, it can be a help if we have our hearts right. We need to have our hearts right about trials and temptations and that. As the brother said, it's easy for us to ask, why me? But the truth of it is why not me? Amen? Why not me? What's any difference with me that such a thing should not come my way? Submit to the Lord, he says. Resist the devil. Draw nigh. Cleanse our hands in verse number 8 of chapter 4 of James. Be afflicted and mourn. Let laughter be turned to mourning and joy to heaviness. And so we will humble ourselves before the Lord, and He is going to lift us up. Lord, help me, as the songs that Brother Bobby chose for us to sing tonight, they spoke about taking it to the Lord, looking to the Lord for help, and that's what we certainly need to know. In verse number 11, we speak here, or we pick things up here, and it says, speak not evil one of another. Here's speaking to brethren. Here James is talking to these different ones, what to say to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad, greeting, my brethren, they are, I believe, from the standpoint of being Jews, and they're also brethren in the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, speak not evil one of another. Don't do it. And listen to what the verse goes on to say. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Oh, there we are again. Judge not that you be not judged. Well, wait a minute. Let's take a look and see what it says. Speak not evil one of another. As we go to the Word of God, and we take a look, and here in the government of the church, as we are there with our brothers and sisters in Christ in the church, we all have problems. We all have temptations. Sometimes we might have a situation where we might start going astray. And we need a brother and sister to come up beside us and say, hey, consider what the Word of God says. Hey, I'm concerned about you. Don't go that way. It's going to hurt you. The pastor may need to preach. He might need to reprove. He might need to rebuke. I hope that's not the case. I hope we don't get off in the midst of it, but sometimes that happens. And it says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law. What that evil's talking about is not, it's making judgments not with the truth of God's Word, but what we think, what the philosophy of the world is, and what the world says, what the philosophy of men is. A thing is not wrong because Brother Jim says it's wrong. Sin is sin because God says it's sin. Amen? That's the way that it is. And so we go to the Word of God. We don't make a judgment of ourselves, but make a judgment from what the Word of God says. If we do anything else than that, it is evil. It is evil. And so that's the qualifier that's there. Speak not evil one of another. Don't get evil confused with the truth. All right, if the Word of God says that we shouldn't be doing such a thing, then all of us should not be doing that thing, okay? But if we say, if we're a respecter of persons, say, well, I don't think that that ought to be, but we don't have any of the Word of God to back it up, then wait a minute. Then we judge with an evil intention, an evil heart. Other things may be involved here. There may be a vengeful attitude, a desire to get back, malice desired from one brother to another. And it should not be. Should not be. A heart of seeing someone, maybe our brother, get off into sin, and just going and taking them and picking on them about that sin. We should stand for what's truth. Didn't we see this morning that love rejoices in iniquity? No, love doesn't rejoice in iniquity. Love is happy, woohoo, in the truth. Love is excited about the truth. Love gets thrilled about the truth, but does not get thrilled about iniquity and sin. And so that's the difference. That's the difference. Don't speak evil. Don't get evilness, and don't confuse evil with the truth, because it's not because of what we think. It's because of what the Lord thinks. And may the Lord help us in the church and our lives that we've got the Word of God to back up what we think. If you don't have chapter and verse, brother and sister, you don't have anything to stand on. Get over it. It's just the way that it is. It's just the way that it is. What it is, but what it becomes when it's our attitude or our opinion, it becomes hypocrisy indeed. Look here in chapter 3, verse number 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, and then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You know what? I get wayward and you come to me with the Word of God, and even though I might bristle up and curl up and get kind of red-faced and my veins pop out and all that, that's what I need is the truth. That's what I need. Without partiality. I need you to come to me just like you'd go to anybody else. I need that wisdom that's from above. Because, see, if I get away from my sin and I turn to the rightness of what the Word of God says, there will be a blessing there, won't there? Amen, there will be. It will be. Brother Jim, I feel guilty about such a thing. Get unguilty by repenting of it and turning to what's right. If what's preaching crowds you, then talk to the Lord about it and get it right. Follow the Word of God. Don't wrestle against it. Don't mill around there in your guilt and your shame about it, and you face the Lord with it, and you know He's not for it. Get over it and repent of it. Get it right before the Lord and pursue what's right. Pursue what the Lord would have us to pursue. We need that wisdom from above. Because it is pure, it is peaceable, it is gentle, it is easy to be entreated, it is full of mercy, it is full of good fruits, it is without partiality, and the Lord wants nothing to do with hypocrisy indeed. Verse 11 of chapter 4, speak not evil one another, our own opinion, what I think, what I say. No, it's what the Lord says. Chapter 2, verse 4, take a look at this. We've seen this. He says here, having respect of persons. Having respect of persons to the one that comes in that is notably wealthy. And we would have, say, here you sit in the good seat, and you that are not clothed so well, you sit here under my feet. You sit down there where my muddy shoes are, where my stinky shoes are. Maybe you just stand at the back. No, it shouldn't be that way. He says here in verse 4, are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of, or if I may, with evil thoughts. Judges with evil thoughts. The Word of God, the Lord, He makes it plain and evident that He looks at the soul. And none of one of our souls is present here tonight, or any other person or soul that we know of out there in this world today, not one soul is more important than the other. How do you and I estimate it, though, as we walk and as we live? May the Lord help us. Not one soul is more important than another. Back in chapter 4, verse 11, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. Look what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 7. You're familiar with this. We'll read it. We won't have to spend a lot of time here because you're familiar with it. And you know exactly what it says. Here on the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ says in his sermon here, In chapter 7, verse number 1 of Matthew, he says, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye?" You're calling out your brother for a thing. He's got a problem, but it's little. But he's got a problem. But the thing is, I got this telephone pole sticking out of my eye. I've got a real problem in my own life. How can I be a right witness and a right testimony to my brother about helping him to avoid the danger of chasing after sin and getting off more in sin and the things that come from that? If I got sin in my own life, they see I become a hypocrite. I become a judge with evil thoughts. I think I'm right when it's noticeable to everybody that I'm way out wrong. And I call my brother on a little thing that's right now in his life, it's just little. Judge it the way the Lord judges. Take their things at home. Be considering that thing at home. And then go on. The Lord tells us plain here. See, everybody likes those first couple verses, but they don't read the rest of the context. Look what it says. "And why beholdest thou," verse 3, "the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother," effectively, I think that's what's implied, "let me pull the mote that is out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye." I can't get close enough to him without batting his head around with that beam I've got coming out of my eye in this illustration that we have here. Okay? What's it say? What's the Lord say? "Thou hypocrite, don't be that way. First, clean up your own life." Amen. Well, I can't say anything because I've got problems in my life, and therefore it's just I just am not a good one to be a help to anybody because I just fall so short. Are you going to lay there and wallow in that the rest of the time that the Lord's given you to serve Him? Amen. You're wasting your life.
Right.
You're wasting your sacrifice, folks.
Amen.
We're wasting our sacrifice of our life if we're content to wallow around, sit there in sin.
Amen?
Amen? That's the way it is. Say, "Well, I just can't get over this." Yeah, temptation is there. Sin is there. It can have power in our life, and we need to seek the Lord's face and help that we put that out. But if we condone it and condone it and condone it and get comfortable with it in our own life, and it becomes a part of our life, we can get blinded to where we can't even see it.
Right.
And we're wasting our sacrifice. What's the Lord tell us in Romans? We will yield our bodies a living sacrifice to the Lord. But it's our nature and our tendency. We like to hold some of it back, don't we? Yeah, well, not this part. Not this part of my life. I don't want to yield that part of my life to the Lord. He says all of it. All of it. All of it. "Thou hypocrite! First, straighten up yourself. Look to the Word of God. See what God says. Get honest with God. Pray about those things that are wrong in your life. See if you can take them and offer them up to the Lord and ask Him to bless you in them. My old grudging spirit, Lord, and that hard-heartedness I've got against my brother or my sister, Lord, bless me in it. Lord, that backbiting and that tongue wagging that I do against my brother or sister or against that neighbor down here that I got that conflict with, Lord, bless me in that." Can we pray about those things? If you can't pray about it to ask the Lord to bless you in it, something's wrong. We need to steer from it. If we can't visit with the Lord about it, "Lord, I'm going to take somebody by hook and crook. Help me to do it well." We can't pray about that kind of stuff, can we? "Lord, help us." No, we better not be able to. "Lord, I got to tell a lie. I got to tell a lie, Lord, because it's the only solution and way to get out of this. Otherwise, this one will get in trouble, and that one will get in trouble, and the other one will get in trouble. Lord, help me to tell a good one." Can we pray that way? Better not. Oh, better not. Better not. "Lord, help us if we're cold, so cold that we do." Verse 5, "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye." And what's it say? "Then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." That means that you can be a help to me. That means I can be a help and a good witness to you.
Amen.
He doesn't say, you hypocrite, give it up. Get off his back, leave him alone, because your life's messed up. Doesn't say that, does he? Says, no, take care of things at home by what the Word of God says. And then you'll be able to, in a right spirit, in a right heart, in a right way, you'll be able to help out your brother or your sister.
Amen.
Amen? And that's what the Lord said. He says, we can make judgments based on what He says. But however it goes out from what the Word of God says, we better be ready to receive it. Yeah. I can't harp on you on tithing. I say it that way. If I don't, I can't preach to you with an open and honest heart before the Lord about giving offerings to His work and His service as we collect it at different times during the services and that. If I don't, I am a pure hypocrite if I do. Amen. Amen. And that's the way that it is. Back in James 4, speak not evil one of another. Brethren, he that speaketh evil of his brother, not what God says, but what he thinks, what you and I think, what we're thinking of ourselves. That's where the evil's at. We need to speak what God says. Thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
You know, I think that you're really going astray here because you're not making a right decision about this. And, you know, it's just not right for you to do that. I mean, we might have counsel that we might give to those that we love or those that we're near to that are just on things of the affairs of life. Don't buy that kind of air compressor, Brother Jerry, because it's no good. I had one that burned up. Nikki, you keep buying those kind of shirts because I like your shirts. Right? We might have advice like that, but the Lord says when it comes down to morality, when it comes down to living right, when it comes down to accountability before the Lord, it's thus saith the Lord, not thus saith Brother Jim Duke. Brother Jim Duke. Nope. He will lead you astray in and of himself. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother in this evil fashion speaketh evil of the law. Why? Because he's ignoring the law. He's making his own law, making his own way, and judgeth the law. But if thou be a judge of the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Isn't that what the Lord was talking about over there? You see this fault in your brother? You got a bigger fault in yourself. And now, you've become the end-all of what's right? No, the Lord is the end-all of what's right. The Lord is broadcasting on a frequency, folks. May the Lord help us to get Him tuned in and line up with Him. Amen? That's what we need to do. Be a doer of the law of the Lord. Yeah. A doer of the law. It's good. The law is always good. Obedience to the Lord is always good. How do we know how to obey the Lord if it's not for His commandments? Amen? Didn't the Lord Jesus Christ say that? If you love me, keep my commandments. We saw some of that this morning in the message. Don't be an evil judge. Be a representative of the Lord. And then in verse 12, there's one lawgiver. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Yeah. God Almighty can back up what He said, can He? The Lord Jesus Christ says in the New Testament, there in the Gospels, He says, don't fear the one that can just kill the body, and after that doesn't have a thing he can do. But fear the one after he's killed and cast body and soul into hell. I say unto you, fear Him. We as the children of God, we need to have a reverential, fatherly fear of our Heavenly Father and Lord, don't we? Amen. Because He loves us. He'll come whipping on me. He has before because He loves me. There's one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another in this evil way, referred to in verse 11? The judge, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the judge. Take a look over here in John chapter 5. I love this passage. This is something. It eats these guys up. They don't want these kind of things. I tell you what, in every respect, we need to have the mind of Christ, folks. That's what we need. I need to think like Jesus Christ would think. If I think like Jesus Christ, I'll have a blessing on top of blessing. It may not make sense to the world, but if I can grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, you and I can grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, see the Word of God, be filled with the Word of God, and go to thinking like Jesus Christ would think, you know, we'll save ourselves a bunch of sin, a bunch of sorrow, a bunch of headache. We will. Headache and heartache. We will. Here in John chapter 5, the Lord deals with these fellows here and He talks to them about this very subject. They quarreled Him about who He is and where He's come from. They estimate Him. He's healed another man here in Bethesda and at the pool there. And they hate Him because of it. And He's dealing with them. They're talking to Him. He's talking to them. And then in verse number 17, but Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Just a few words, huh? Listen to what it does to them. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill Him, because He had not only broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was His Father. And by doing that, by saying that God Almighty was His Father, it made Him equal with God. I mean, if you're the Son of the Father, you're the heir of the Father. And from the human standpoint, we'll come into a position of being, stepping in there in the stead of the Father as the way it works in this life. That's how they estimate Him to be equal with God. The Father's the boss now. The Son will be later. Okay? But we know that the Lord's forever and He is a spiritual. But they see that, making Himself equal with God. Verse 19, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them," that bothers you? Listen to this. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son of Man can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do." He says, that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm going to do. "For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. I copy Him in every step," the Son says. The Lord Jesus Christ says. "For the Father loveth the Son," verse 20, "and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth. And He will show Him greater works than these, that ye may stand there with your mouth gaping open." Marvel. There's going to be those in that day. There were those in that day, and there's going to be those in that last day that are going to be there going, "Uh-oh, we had it wrong. Uh-oh, we thought it'd be another way." When Christ shows up, they're going to say, "Uh-oh, we're in trouble now. For as the Father raiseth up the dead," verse 21, "and quickeneth them," the Father takes the dead and makes them alive. That's what that word quickeneth means. "Even so the Son quickeneth whom He will." Lost sinner, unsaved sinner, you need Jesus. Because He's the one that makes alive. He is the one that makes sinners alive. You need to call out to Him to touch you, make you alive, save your wretched soul. Without Jesus, you're dead and you're going to keep on being dead. You need Jesus. He quickens whom He will. And you need Him. You need to take that up with Him. "Even so the Son quickeneth whom He will." Verse 22, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." Why? "That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father." That's what the Father has given the Son, so that His honor would be up where it should be. You got to reckon with the judge. When you stand before the judge, If you got half a mind and you're guilty and you got a problem and you stand before the judge as accountable and guilty for what you've done, if you've got half bit of sense, you're going to be afraid, because the judge will mete out to you what the judge wants to, what the judge believes is equitable, what the judge believes should be. "But He's committed this judgment to the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which has sent Him." Yeah, God's a package deal. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He's the great three in one. And the Father will not have His Son slighted in any way. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life right now. If you hear the word and you believe on him that sent me, you've got everlasting life. Did not the Father send the Son for we that are saved? Don't we know and are assured that the Lord, the Father, sent the Son to be our Savior, sent him on our behalf? I'm persuaded of it. I praise God for it. I love to hear about it over and over and over again. Is it boring to you to hear about the Savior? Tell you what, if it is, you got trouble. You got trouble if you're tired about hearing about Jesus. If you're tired about hearing the Lord bringing the work of salvation to pass in His Son, if you're tired of hearing about that, you got trouble. Because that should never get old. That should never get old. Preaching about Jesus, teaching about Jesus should never get old. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Verse 23, at the latter part of verse 23, he that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. Verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's what the Lord's done for us in salvation. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and matter of fact, now is, that the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. That's salvation. That's salvation. That's the call of the Lord Jesus Christ to sinners. You're a sinner, you need a Savior, and I am He. Will you believe me? Will you receive me? Will you trust in me and what I've done for you? The Lord would say now, what I have done for sinners so that a sinner like you can have forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. It's all in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is speaking. Are you hearing? Are you able to hear? Verse 26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself. The Father's ordained it to be, and he does have. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, not only to save, but because the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior, the Father has made him the judge. The one that takes away the sin of the world. That's what Jesus Christ is. And I know what that world is talking about. It's not talking about a world without exception. It's talking about a world without distinction. The Lord came to save His people. We know the Scripture bears that out. But what that's saying in that reference about the world there, there's no other way to be saved but Jesus. There's no other way. There's no other way on this earth to be saved than other than the Lord Jesus Christ through Him. There's no other way. He says, the Lord has called me and given me to be the Savior, to have life, and to call those from death unto life. And He's also given me the authority to execute judgment, verse 27, because He is the Son of Man. Verse 26, for as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given the Son to have life in Himself, and hath given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. He's the representative of men for men before God. And He is the representative of God for men before God. You hear that? The representative of men, the Son of Man, before God. He's the perfect man. He's the perfect sacrifice. If anyone is going to be saved, it takes Jesus to answer for you. I died for him. I shed my blood for him. And then He's the Son of God, and being the Son of God, He's the representative of God before God, saying, you know I've got the power to save. You know I'm the acceptable sacrifice. You know that this is the fulfilling of our plan. You see that? That's what the Lord has done. But He says He's given Him this to be a judge because He's the Son of Man. A man will sit on the throne of David and judge men. Hear that? The God-man will do so. The perfect man, the one that never even thought of sin, he'll be mine and yours judge. He lived up to it. Have you and I? You see? See how the... Don't be an evil judge, but be a righteous judge. The judge will be found and is found not guilty of any sin. That gives him the right to be the judge. And he's going to judge us. And what's the only hope we have? The atonement of the judge. Amen? I died for him. I shed my blood for him. I gave my life for him. And that's how it is. Verse 26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this. Don't stand there with your jaw dropped open. For the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good into the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil into the resurrection of damnation. He said, you marvel about me being the Savior as they stood there and looked on him and said, this man from Nazareth being a Savior, being the Messiah? As they looked on at the Lord Jesus Christ, they said, what a joke. This man can't even be a prophet, much less the Messiah, because of the way he looked, because of the way where he was from the parents that he claimed, Joseph not being his father, but believed to be. Savior? Judge? It didn't make any sense. But he says, yes, it's true. I am the Savior. I am sent by the Father. And there's going to come a day that I'm going to say, come forth. And the angels, I believe the book of Revelation tells us that the angels are going to gather every soul from the four corners of the earth and bring them there, those that are unsaved, to that great white throne judgment of God. And their sinners will give an account for their works because they have nothing else to give. He's going to be the judge. The one that they thought to be unlikely to be the Savior, he's the Savior. The one that they thought unlikely to ever be the judge is the judge. And what he says goes. Verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just judgment. Because I seek not my own will. Here's a hint about making a call about righteousness or unrighteousness. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. What's the standard of righteousness? What God has said. What should you and I claim as the standard of righteousness for ourselves and for everybody else? What God says. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to judge. How? By what the Father says. You see that? He will not be an evil judge, will he? He will be a righteous judge. And that's the judgments that we need to make. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Back in James chapter 4, there's one lawgiver who's able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another with these evil thoughts and these evil ways? Turn over here quick to Acts 10. Acts 10. These are short scriptures. We'll take a look at them. Acts 10, one of the apostles here preaching. Just reemphasizing this that we read there in John chapter 5. Acts chapter 10, verse 40. Acts chapter 10, verse 40. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Peter's preaching, right? Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge with a capital J of the quick, the saved, and the dead, the unsaved. Amen. Jesus is the judge, and we need to make calls the way he says. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Take a look here. 2 Timothy chapter 4. As the apostle begins to wrap up this second epistle to the young preacher, and he gives him a charge. here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. I charge thee therefore, Timothy, before God and before the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. The quick and the dead. Where? At His appearing and at His kingdom. Preach the Word and be instant to do it. Be ready, because that's what sinners need to hear. What the Lord says and how the Lord will judge. 1 Peter chapter 4. Another apostle, or this is Peter also here, the apostle Paul, they're writing to Timothy in 1 Peter chapter 4. Talking about having the same mind of Christ. Verse number 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. There, that talking about Him suffering in the flesh is that reference to Him being the Son of Man. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. The rest of his time. If it's up to me, I'd like you to take that and underline the rest of his time. What are you doing with the rest of your time from the day that the Lord saved you? That's your sacrifice, folks. The rest of your time. What are you doing with it? What are you and I doing with the rest of our time? Isn't that what it said? We're saved out of wickedness. That we no longer should live the rest of His time in the flesh to the lust of men, but rather live it to the will of God. What the Lord says. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. That's what we knew, and that's what we did. Sin, sin, sin. When we walked in lasciviousness, when we walked in lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Don't have to worry about your leaving your friends when you're saved. They'll leave you. Amen. Verse 5. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the saved and the unsaved, the quick and the dead. The Lord is the judge, folks. He's the judge. And I tell you what, we've got in advance in His Word how He will judge. Amen? Is it not by the Word of God that He will judge? We've got it in advance. It's not like it's a hidden test. Blind test about what you know over material that you've never been given. We've been given it. We've been given it here. He is the judge. Back in James chapter 4. There's one lawgiver, and He's going to be the judge. He's able to save and destroy. Don't judge another in that evil thought and that evil way of yourself. But make our calls in living in life in the judgments that the church makes, in our help and our desire to be a help and encouragement and admonisher and edifier of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Every joint so supposed to be supplying the other joint, right? In the nourishment of the church. When I get wayward, I need you to come up beside me and say, this is what the Lord says. You need to pay attention to that. When you get out of the way, I need to come up you in the right kind of spirit and right way and say, this is what the Lord says. Amen. You need to give heed to it. I'm worried about you. We need to be a right kind of judge. Next time we'll take a look about braggarts. Bragging. Because you know, all this is going to add up here in this chapter. It started off from whence come wars and fightings. Lusting because we don't ask, but we're just trying to get ourselves. Being adulterers and adulteresses because we have friendship with the world rather than a desire and a fellowship with the Lord. Not being humble before the Lord like we should be. Speaking evil of our brothers and making evil judgments. Bragging about those things that we're going to do. And boasting and such. Look at the last verse. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's going to be the summary. There's an outline there of these things that he's mentioning. And once we've been told the truth, once you and I have been told the truth, then we've got it in our lap to obey. Amen? Yeah. And may the Lord help us to obey it. So for those of you that are here tonight not saved, you need Jesus Christ. You need this one that's going to be the judge of the saved and the unsaved. You need Him as Savior. He's the Savior. He's the Messiah. He's the Redeemer. He's the one sent by the Father to give His complete life and soul for the salvation of sinners. To give His life and His soul to bring forgiveness to those that will repent and trust and believe in Him. Do you hear Him? Do you believe Him? Will you receive Him? That's what the Lord says. Come.